And we are going to look at just two verses this morning. But we will continue through the chapter once we get into the message. Genesis chapter 22. The title of my sermon this morning is A Passing Grade. A Passing Grade. That's something that I'm sure all of us want, whether it was in school or whether you're in school right now. We all want a passing grade. But we are going to look at just two verses this morning. Genesis 22, look what it says in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. Verse number 2. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. There is no test in your life that is not there for a purpose. We all have to go through certain tests in life. And I don't know about you, if I'm the only one in here, I am not a fan of going through tests. It's just something that I do not enjoy. When I was in school, I enjoyed certain subjects. I enjoyed history, and at times I enjoyed science. But the one subject that I would say was my nemesis was the subject of math. No hate to those who love math out there. I just didn't enjoy it. I was not a fan of math. And you may say, oh, was it algebra? Was it calculus? What type of math was this? It was simple addition word problems. Now, this particular time when I was taking this math, at the beginning of every test, they always had these word problems, and I hated them. I couldn't stand them. And it could be as simple as if Johnny had 5 apples and he gave 2 to Susie, how many does Johnny have? And even those simple ones that you may look at and think, oh, that's pretty simple, I would struggle with. I remember one day when I opened the test and I saw those word problems. I'm like, oh man, here we go. And I tried the best to my ability to answer them correctly. But then when the teacher would grade it, it would be a red X mark on it. She would say, oh, they tricked you somehow. You need to pay more attention. I just couldn't understand the purpose of tests. Regardless, whether you enjoy tests or not, there's a reason for those tests. You have your final exams that cover what you learned in the previous grade before you can move on. And tests are given to see your progression through certain things. But in our story this morning, a faithful man, someone who you would consider to be a great Christian, someone who you may think that probably didn't need a test, he is going through a test. And his name was Abraham. Now, who was Abraham? Abraham was a man of great faith, and he was someone who was highly blessed of God. See, God called him to get out of his home country, and he went there. He had no idea where he was going or what to expect, but he went there. He obeyed God. He trusted in God when he could have gone anywhere, but he also trusted God when he promised him a son. See, Abraham walked with God, and even he had to go through a test. See, just because you are obeying God or walking with God or having close fellowship with God doesn't exempt you from a test. See, this very event would test Abraham's faith and trust in God like never before. You see, we see this through the Bible of people who have gone through tests. Paul himself, he went through a struggle and he had to learn God's grace because of it. Job went through a struggle. He went through a test, who was one of the wealthiest men in his time, but he had to go through a test. But we see in both of these characters, in both of these men's story, the test brought forth something good. With Paul, he had to learn about God's grace in the midst of a trial. With Job, he had to learn who he was in comparison to who God was. The question I have for you this morning is, are you finding purpose in the test that you're going through right now? God has a test that he may have you in right now. Or maybe you are just coming out of a trial. But there was a purpose for it. In our text this morning, I want us to look at three actions of Abraham that resulted in a passing grade for this test. Look what it says in verse number 3. First of all, I noticed there was an obedient response. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. He rose up early. He obeyed right away. He didn't wait and consider what he was going to do. He didn't say, wait a second, God, I don't know what you're doing right now. I don't know why you're giving me this test. He rose early in the morning. You could say that this was a very strange request. You could say that this very son that God had promised him, the son that I'm sure Abraham had been praying for years, the very son that was going to be the beginning of a promise that God had promised him, God told him to sacrifice that very son. And what was Abraham's response to this request from God? He didn't delay. He didn't waste time. He rose up early in the morning. If you continue in verse 3, it says, and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And verse 4, it says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. It took him 3 days to get to this place that God wanted him to sacrifice Isaac. Can you imagine what he was thinking through on that 3 day trip? The time that they had to stop and sleep for the night, he could have said, "This the next morning, the next day, I'm going back home. This doesn't make sense." He had 3 days to think about it, to ponder it. Every time he looked over at Isaac, he was probably sitting beside him. As he was giving him food for the day, he thought, this could be the last time I could see him. This is what Abraham is thinking of. I know that any time we go through a test or a trial, maybe you have a big test coming up, and those days leading up to it, sometimes you wonder, am I making the right decision? Am I doing what I believe that God wants me to do in this situation? You think back that maybe this wasn't a good idea. Maybe I should turn back. Because we don't know the results. You see, Abraham had an obedient response, but he made the decision to immediately obey God. You see, back home, when he was given this command, he made the decision then to obey God. He didn't wait for the next day or the day as he was walking towards the mountain to make the decision to obey God. He decided in the moment to obey God. You see, delayed obedience is not obedience at all. And Abraham didn't know what would happen at the end of the story. We do, we can look at the beginning and we can read what happened at the end. But Abraham didn't know that. Regardless of what Abraham knew, regardless of who we trusted in, he made the decision to obey. And that obedience showed his trust in God. You see, whatever test or trial that you are going through, whatever situation you are in, you can show your faith in God, you can show your trust in God by obeying him immediately. You may not understand the path. You may not understand the situation. You may not understand what he is doing, but you can trust him. And the result of that trust is obedience. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His wisdom is so much higher than ours. His power is so much more than we can comprehend. It's not comparable, but you can trust the creator of the universe, because that's exactly what Abraham did. In the midst of your trial, or in the midst of your test, are you living in obedience to God? I hope that we don't get in a mindset that, oh, I'm going through this difficult time. God will excuse if I act a certain way or if I behave a certain way. Just because you're going through a trial, whether you're not in a trial, we should still live a life of obedience to God. Do you trust God enough to obey him? In the trial that you are in right now, are you obeying God? You see, Abraham obeyed God's instruction to the letter. He didn't delay. He didn't think of reasons of why this wasn't a good idea. He just went exactly to the mountain that God wanted him to sacrifice his son. Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's what Job said. Can you imagine? He had everything taken away from him. He still had, his wife was with him. He had sickness, but he was still alive. He had friends that went to him and said, oh, this is happening because of something that you did. They weren't a very good encouragement to Job. But Job's response several times, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. But in this verse, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And the rest of that verse, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job said in that verse that even if no matter what may happen, I'm still going to trust him. But no matter what situation I'm in, I'm still going to maintain my ways before him. Even if I'm struggling with this, I'm still going to worship God. Even if I lose all these things, I'm still going to obey God. Even if he takes everything from me, I'm still going to walk with God. Is that your reaction? When things don't go your way, when your path takes some turns that you weren't expecting, will you maintain your ways before God? We may not understand what is happening, but what will your response look like when God calls you to do something? In verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Imagine what Abraham had to deal with at this time. They get to the mountain, and he takes the wood and gives it to Isaac, takes the knife, and they're going up the mountain. I'm sure each step must have felt like agony to Abraham. Think of where he is at this time. God had fulfilled the promise that he had given to Abraham for so many years. And his son is there. And now he has to be offered as a sacrifice. I wonder what that conversation was like. What is your response when God is telling you what to do? You may have to sacrifice something. But Abraham obediently responded. We've seen Abraham's obedient response. Secondly, he had an obedient faith. Look what it says in verse number 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? See, Isaac wasn't dumb. He knew exactly what was needed for a sacrifice. He saw the wood. He saw everything. I'm sure this is something that Isaac had seen Abraham do in the past. I'm sure he was of age that he understood what was needed for a sacrifice. Isaac knew that a sacrifice was required. But there was no lamb. I truly believe at this point, Isaac had no clue what was going to happen. You know, I don't think Isaac thought that he was going to find the lamb on the top of a mountain. I don't think that was Isaac's thought. He figured that, well, if we're going to have a sacrifice, we should be carrying the lamb up there with us. But I think verse 8 shows Abraham's faith. The Bible says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. See, this was an example of Abraham's faith in God, that he would provide exactly what he needed for a sacrifice. Abraham didn't just trust God for his future, but he trusted God for his provision. Abraham didn't know the how. He didn't know the why, but he trusted God for his immediate need. How did Abraham get to this point? How was he able to have such a faith in God and a trust in him? I truly believe Abraham didn't wake up one morning and thought, oh, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to kill my son. No. It was because he knew God. He had close fellowship with God. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. I believe that when we read the Bible and we hear certain titles or phrases that describe someone, it's there for a purpose. It's there for a meaning. David was a man after God's own heart. We see that Abraham was called the friend of God. See, these men in the Bible that had these names, they weren't called this because they were perfect. They weren't called this because they never made a mistake. David sinned. Abraham was a sinner. But it was because Abraham made the decision to believe God when it mattered most. And in the midst of a trial, that did not change. He still decided to trust God. But it started with fellowship. Abraham made the decision that he was going to obey God. It started with him knowing God. And I know we've heard this quote many times, that how are you going to trust someone that you don't know? It's true. Abraham trusted and believed God because he knew him. Maybe he, as he was going to that mountain, he thought, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I remember how faithful you were when you called me out of my hometown. I remember how faithful you were when you gave me the strength to save my family. I remember how faithful you were when I was going through these struggles. I didn't understand what was going on, but I'm still going to trust you. And that didn't change when the most difficult test that Abraham ever had to go through was given to him. Will you trust God this morning? Will you decide to have faith, believing in him, that he will stay close no matter the circumstance? Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. It does not matter whether you're in a storm or whether you're not. God has promised his presence in your life, in the life of his children, and you can trust him. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. How are we able to go through all of these things and not be worried? Why are we not worried when everything around us is struggling, when everything around us is wicked, when we have no idea what's going on? It's not because of who we are or what we've done or because of some ability that we have or some talent. It's because of who is with us, and that is Christ in us. That's why we can stay calm in the midst of the storm. That's why we can go through life when everything around us is going wrong. It's because of God's presence in us. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say only specific ones. It doesn't say those that only we get ourselves in, or mistakes that we've made. He delivers out of them all. We can rest assured because of God's presence. And how do we know that? How can we have assurance in that? It's in his word. He has promised it to us. And that's how we can know. Amen. In order to trust him, you have to know him. In our young adults group that we meet every Tuesday, this past week we started talking about, you know, habits of grace, walking with God. What does that look like practically? And the application that we took from that, what we can do to apply it, is it starts with a verse a day. I enjoy getting notifications from the Bible app that every time I wake up for a new day, it's a verse. And it can be something as small as that, but there needs to be a way that you are in God's word, memorizing a verse every day, getting the truth from God's word, talking to God in prayer. That's how knowing God starts. Amen. Abraham trusted God. And even though he didn't know what would be the results of his test, he had an obedient response. But he had an obedient faith. Look what it says in verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. See, Abraham had an obedient response. As soon as God told him what to do, he obeyed. He had obedient faith by knowing God. But I think this is probably one of the most important aspects of Abraham's obedience. He had obedient surrender. Not just Abraham, but Isaac as well. Did you see what it said in that verse? It said that he built the altar and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. You know, at this time, I'm pretty sure Isaac knows. He knows that he is the sacrifice. But if Isaac wasn't okay with it, I'm pretty sure he could have outrun his father. I'm pretty sure he could have ran off that mountain and said, "Get me away from this crazy guy." He could have. But Abraham surrendered, but Isaac also surrendered. Why is this significant? It's significant because total surrender is not just giving God part of your life. Total surrender is not just giving God control or giving God 50-50. This was a picture of Abraham laying everything on the altar. Isaac had everything that Abraham was looking for. The promise of a seed, the promise of him being the father of many nations, it was all wrapped up in Isaac. What reason would Abraham have to keep going? Why would he want to continue through life if the promise that has kept him alive, that has kept him awake at nights and in mornings, that had him trust God, was because of the promise that God gave him? And he had to lay that down before God. His path to being blessed, his path of life, was because of what God had promised him. See, surrender isn't just giving up something. Surrender is saying, "God, I want to do this with my life, but because I trust your plan and your path, I'm going to give it all to you. I surrender my future, my will, my life to you." That's the difference with Abraham. That's the surrender that he showed. The question I have for you is, have you surrendered your life to him this morning? See, Abraham laying Isaac down, it's a picture of surrender. But I know an even better picture of a sacrifice. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 7 through 8, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." See, God sent his son to die on the cross for the entire world so that we can have a relationship with him. The differences I see is Isaac surrendered to someone he knew, to his father. But the blessing about it is it didn't matter who it was. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, just like trust, you're probably not going to surrender to someone that you don't know. But the Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, his love and surrender was displayed on the cross. You see, Isaac was bound, and he did not have the strength to get up off the altar or to escape once he was bound. But the difference is, Jesus had all the power that he wanted. If he wanted to, he could have gone off that cross. If he wanted to, he could have just ended it at the suffering. He could have done it with the snap of his finger. But he chose not to. Why? Because he loved you. Because he loved me. And he loved the whole world. And it was his love for you that kept him on the cross. That's a picture of love. That's a picture of a sacrifice. and surrender that cannot be matched. But aren't you thankful that he didn't just stay dead on the cross, that he rose again on the third day, and he is now offering everyone the free gift of salvation. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we deserve is eternal separation from God, but because of his love for us, because he desired a relationship with him, he sent and sacrificed his son so that we can live. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is call upon him. And it is that simple. The great thing is, you can get saved today. It's never too late. God has you here for a reason. He has you here in the service for a reason. He has a purpose for you. And maybe that is to get saved. For some of you, maybe you have already received Jesus Christ into your heart, but maybe there were some things that you haven't surrendered to God. See, maybe you've surrendered tomorrow to God. Okay, maybe you've surrendered your will, but we need to surrender all of it, everything to God. Look what it says in verse number 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. See, this wasn't fake it till you make it. Abraham was about to kill his son. But then, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So Abraham, he got a passing grade. He passed. I'm sure Abraham was like, oh man, I can't believe it. But as I was studying this passage, I noticed something very interesting. Abraham was willing to kill his own son to obey God. That was how surrendered he was. That's how much faith he had in God. He knew that God's promise, that he wasn't going to break that. He just thought that maybe God was going to do something with Isaac, that he's going to still fulfill that promise. But Abraham was going to kill his son to obey God. As soon as I thought of that, I was like, wow. That's some faith and trust in God. And then the question that I asked myself and that we should ask ourselves is, have we drawn a line with our obedience to God? Have we thought that, oh, you know what, God, I'll obey you in this aspect, in this aspect, and in this aspect, but this section over here, this is what I'm still hanging on to. This is what I'm not going to give up. Do we have the attitude that in certain situations we're going to obey God and in other situations we're going to take the knowledge and experience that we have for that situation and not give that to God? That's not surrender. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What does surrender look like to you? And the question I have is, does your terms of surrender and God's term of surrender line up? Am I willing to surrender what's most precious to me in order to obey God? Maybe the plans that you've been planning for your entire life, maybe the path that you thought you were going to go, and God says, what about this way? Are you going to obey God in that moment? In Hebrews 11, talking about many people in the Bible who had great faith in God, and this was what it said about Abraham. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed that God would do something. He didn't know what it would be. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he believed God. Remember the last time Abraham tried to do something in his own power? It didn't work out for him. It didn't. And I'm sure that as Abraham is walking up that mountain, he's thinking, it has to be this way. This is God's plan. Maybe he thought, what if I did this? What if I tried this? What if I can fix it this way? And maybe his mind went back to the last situation he was in that he tried to do that. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to trust God, and I'm going to have faith in him. See, God's plan is always the best plan. Look what it says in verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. A substitute was provided for Isaac. I know that with this application, we've heard it that, you know, Jesus, instead of us having to have our destiny in hell, Jesus, with being our substitute, died in our place. I understand that application. But let me present it this way in terms of surrender. Regardless of Abraham's decision, a sacrifice was still required. God's plan never changed. If we decide that we are not going to surrender, if we decide that, you know what, God's this plan that God has for me, I'm not going to go that way. God's plan never changes. He's still going to accomplish this. It just won't be through you. And that's the decision that each and every one of us need to make. That we are either going to surrender. God's plan, it hasn't changed. His promises won't change. He's still going to fulfill what he has promised. He's still going to do what he said he was going to do. But the question is, will it be through you? Unfortunately, there are many blessings and opportunities that I have gone by, that I'm sure we have all gone by, that we could have been blessed by God and we could have been at a certain point. But because we didn't fully surrender, we missed it. You see, God will go to someone else who is surrendered. God will go to someone who is willing to give up everything so that God can work through them. But think of how many opportunities God has given us, how many blessings that we've missed out on. And we could have experienced it if we were totally surrendered to God. Now, aren't you thankful that God still wants to use us this morning? Aren't you thankful that God is still using people? But his terms will not change. You can say, oh man, I missed out on this, but at this time I'm going to do it, okay? If you're going to do it then, are you surrendered? See, God's plans will not change. And the sacrifice was still required for Isaac. But God gave a substitute. I believe this morning that God has great plans for each and every one of us. For this church, for your families, God does. He has a purpose for each and every one of you sitting in this room. But he is not going to force you. You have to make the decision, am I going to be obedient and trust his plan for my life? Have you surrendered your life to him? I love any time we get back from camp and we have the day of testimonies. And with the youth lining up and they say, you know, I surrendered this to God. God wants me to do this. And, you know, when the youth say, you know what, I'm surrendered. Even if he calls me to Africa, I'm going to go. And it's always a great time. But the key to surrender isn't just in a location. It's a daily walk with God. It's a daily life with Him. And it's living in obedience to God. That's what surrender is. It's saying, God, whatever you have for me, whatever your will is, your plan, not mine, I'm going to obey you. Not because there's this blind faith, not because, oh, I hope this will happen, oh, I hope it will turn out right. It's because you know God. It's because you trust Him. And you believe that, you know what? I may not know what's going on in this situation, but I know what He did for me in the past. I know how He saved me. I know how He delivered me from the sickness. I know how He answered my prayers. I know how my faith has grown. And I am going to trust and obey and believe God because of what He has done for me. Do you trust God enough to surrender your life to Him? Look what it says in verse 14. And then we'll close. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That word Jehovah Jireh has a little bit more meaning than the Lord provides. Its meaning is the Lord sees. He sees. He saw the sacrifice. He saw the obedience. He saw the immediate response. He saw Abraham's decisions to have faith in God. And this morning, when you serve God, when you surrender to Him, when you make those decisions in obedience to God, God sees that. He sees your faith. He sees your labor. He sees your trust in Him. And He will bless you for that. The Bible says that His eyes run to and fro from the earth. Aren't you thankful this morning that God sees? And He doesn't just see, but when He came down, He experienced the pain. He experienced what we go through. He knows. See, He saw the sacrifice. He saw their faith, but He also saw their need for a substitute. There was a need given, and He provided it. Aren't you thankful that God above looked down on us, and He didn't just leave us the way we were? He could have, but He didn't. He provided a sacrifice for the whole world. When we had our prayer time this past Friday night, and we were going through the devotions, and we were talking about God, you know, it was said that if all God did was just save us, that's just the threshold. That's just the beginning. Anything more than that, we should thank God for. Aren't you thankful that He blesses us, that He provides for us, that He is with us, and He is preparing a place for us? He has given us all of these things. The question I have this morning is, will you surrender to God's plan? Abraham, you could say that he passed the test. But it's not because of what he did. It's because of who he had faith in. And it's only God who can help us pass these tests, pass through trials, can deliver us from these storms. But we are going to have to obey. We're going to have faith. But ultimately, we are going to have to surrender. And when we do that, then our test that we are going through will be a passing grade. Every head bowed, every eye closed. To have a time of invitation this morning. And if you are here this morning, and you may say, Brother Ben, I have not given my life to Jesus. Now, I heard about the sacrifice that He made on the cross for me. And I would like to make a decision to accept that free gift of salvation this morning. If that's you, just go ahead, and no one's looking around. You can come to the front or raise your hand, whatever it may be. Someone would love to speak with you about how you can receive the gift of salvation. Let's all stand this morning as we begin invitation. If you are here this morning, and you may say, Brother Ben, I have received Christ as my Savior, but there are some things I'm holding on to. I have not fully surrendered to God this morning. I'm going through a test, I'm going through a trial that I do not understand. I'm trying to do things in my own strength, and it's just not working. You can come this morning and decide, you know what? I'm going to surrender to God. The altar is open. Christians are praying. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. I pray that you would forgive us for not living a total surrendered life to you. I pray that as a church, we would seek your plan for our lives. And no matter the trial, that we would have faith and trust in you for whatever situation. I thank you for all you've done and what you will do through us in this year. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name.